This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. When I went on my last holiday to Cape Town, it was amazing. My friends were there, the weather was phenomenal, and most importantly, the food was fantastic. But one thing I struggled with was finding the right places to stay. You know, all I want is a great bed, a fantastic shower, and breakfast that doesn't end at 8 a.m. I'm on holiday, I'm still sleeping. I also like ease. And the Hotels.com app easily helps me to find a perfect hotel for every trip. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly getaway or a relaxing spa weekend, on the Hotels.com app, you can compare up to 5 hotels side by side. Now, why would you want to do that? So you can see prices, amenities, and star ratings. And best of all, you don't have to switch back and forth between options. See? Ease. So, start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app today.
Never have I gone months.
Yeah, so you'd be the violator. You'd be the one trying to sneak people in and out of the bubble. It's more important for you to get it on than to, you know, get the games on.
So, yeah, 2 to 3 months, though, is just stunning to me. I cannot even imagine a world where you go 2 to 3 months without.
Well, all those guys are being asked to do that.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're asked. What are they being asked for? A month?
2 months.
2 months? Is that what it is? Family comes in?
Yeah. Family can come in when the teams get down to 8. They have 22 now. The playoffs cut it to 16. And then after that, they cut it to 8 after the first round of the playoffs. So we're talking mid to late August.
Yeah.
Month and a half.
Okay. And guys are in there now. By the way, we're going to check in with Joe Vardon, who is inside the bubble, in just a couple of minutes. Make sure you're here for that, about 3:15 or so. 3:45, Bill Shaken's going to join us. Dodgers have another intra-squad game tonight. And, of course, they will have their first home exhibition game, first of three, on Sunday at Dodger Stadium. So they'll play Arizona Sunday, Arizona Monday, the Angels on Tuesday, and then 9 days from right now will be Dodgers opening day at Dodger Stadium. The NBA is back, coming fast. Lakers versus Clippers, only 16 days away.
And I was thinking, Kawhi is the reigning NBA Finals MVP.
Yes.
Was the best player in the playoffs last year. Do you think Kawhi last year in games that he played in 60 of the 82. He averaged 34 minutes a game. In the playoffs, he averaged 40.
Right.
If you're Doc Rivers, do you even use Kawhi in these 8 games, these seeding games? Or do you just say, you know what, we're just saving him for the playoffs? He could be the best weapon. Paul Pierce today on The Jump said that a Kawhi healthy would be the best weapon for any team in the playoff bubble.
Right, right. So
if you're Doc, do you play Kawhi at all?
Well, don't you think it comes down to Kawhi? I mean, Kawhi's the one who decides when he's going to play and when he's not going to play. He's the one who's listening to his body.
What would you do if you were him?
Well, I mean, I would play some. I don't think I need to necessarily rack up 40 minutes a game during the seeding games. I mean, you want as much in the gas in the tank as possible once you get to the playoffs.
This first game against the Lakers on the 29th.
Right.
What's the idea? If you're Kawhi and you can call your own number, what's the ideal number of minutes you play in that game?
30.
That's a lot for a first game.
30?
I think it'll be closer to 20.
Yeah, I mean,
what does he have to prove?
Well, he's got nothing to prove. It's a matter of how much you feel like you need to tune up.
Right.
It's a matter of how much you feel like you need to get into the rhythm and the timing of the game. Now, granted, these guys have not been they haven't played a lot. They haven't played a lot. I mean, I'm anticipating that we're going to see sort of a ragged brand of basketball during the seeding games. And then during the month of August, as we get ready for the playoffs, things will start to look more normal. But, I mean, in the end, I don't think Doc decides how much Kawhi plays. I think Kawhi decides how much Kawhi plays.
Yeah, I agree. That'll be one of the things we ask Joe Vardon, who is camped out inside the bubble, and he's coming up next.
Are we going to break?
That's why I teed you up like that.
Okay. Joe Vardon
Your
is
radar
next.
Is fine-tuned, man.
Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, 710 ESPN, Mason in Ireland. Oh, we talk about it all the time. We speculate. What's it like inside there, inside that bubble? What is life like on a day-to-day basis? And joining us right now is a guy who is inside the bubble. Joe Vardon joins us. Hey, Joe, how are you, man?
I miss L.A.
I bet. How long you been in Orlando? When did you get there?
Well, you know, I've been in Orlando since Sunday. I live in Cleveland still, but I spend so much time out with you guys during the season. And, with the world being what it is, who knows when I'll be back.
So go ahead, Mace.
So talk about sort of the inputting process. I've heard this described a couple of different ways. You get down there, and then what happens? How do they get you ready to go into the bubble?
Yeah, I mean, so first of all, like, I don't know how much time we have here, but
as much as you want,
because of everything going on, the credentialing process was very last minute. You know, so you didn't know for sure that you were coming here until pretty much a week before we were supposed to arrive, which is a lot. You know, and then the NBA asked you to quarantine at home, other than like if you want to go outside and run or go pick up some medicine or a sandwich at the store or whatever, that was okay. But otherwise, stay away from people for a week at home. And then on Sunday, you arrived, and you had filled out a questionnaire before you arrived. But that's about it. I mean, there wasn't any kind of mandatory testing. There wasn't like a test that you had to take before you set foot on campus. Like I showed up at this hotel, the Coronado Springs Resort, and went into the ballroom where people were, quote, being checked in, but it was very quick and quiet. Somebody on their medical team asked for my name. I gave it. They looked me up in the computer, said, yep, you're good to go. And then somebody else walked out and handed me a little bag that just had my magic band in it, which are those bands you wear at Disney World to get into your hotel room or to get into the park. And that's what they're using for everything here. And then that was it. I mean, they drive you to your room and you carry your bags up and then you shut the door. And I was there, you know, for hours unpacking until somebody came to deliver my dinner and give me my first COVID test.
Joe Vardon from The Athletic is joining us. He's in the bubble in Orlando. Joe, I know you haven't seen games yet or exactly how it's all going to lay out, but you've been following it from inside for a couple of days now. Most people think this is going to start on time. Will it finish? Will it finish on time? Will it finish at all, in your opinion?
Yeah, I do think that it will. I really do. I think so far what they have done is working. The process that they put in place has caught every test or every positive, and apparently has caught it early enough and at the appropriate time that it did not spread. You know, the idea is once you get your guys on campus, you don't want them getting sick. And if they get sick, you don't want the virus spreading. And the quarantine process that they had set up for the players caught the positives before anybody could spread it to teammates. And so, yeah, I mean, I think they're off to a good start. Obviously there's some unknowns, but I mean, the thing that we just keep coming back to is there's so much riding on this for short term, you know, $1 billion+ to make sure they play the games and get the TV money, and then long term, the long term financial ramifications of a potential lockout over a new CBA because of losing $1 billion this year. They can't handle it. So I think by and large it will work because I think the players are pretty much going to follow the rules.
How often are you as a reporter getting tested, Joe?
Every day.
Every day?
Every day.
And how long does it take to get a result?
It takes 12 to 15 hours. The players, I think, for the most part, are used to this. But I asked them that question. I thought Bucks coach Mike Budenholzer was a little bit more honest. He's like, yeah, you know, I'm human. We're all human. So every time you take that test, you know, you're wondering if the virus is in me. That's just kind of human nature. And certainly for my first test, which took place late Sunday night, waiting all the way until Monday at noon to find out that I was indeed negative. I mean, there was touch and go. I mean, I wrote this. It's kind of a funny story. If your test is negative, you get an email. If your test is positive, you get a phone call. So it's Sunday night, Monday morning, whatever, 3:30 a.m., my first night in this hotel. I'm sleeping. The phone rings.
Oh, no.
I have no idea what's going on. I don't even know where I am. By the time I figure out that it was the phone, it was, I had missed the call. And that's when I was like, oh, my gosh, they are calling me to tell me I tested positive. And I'm freaking out. You know, I hit the message button and whoever called had just hung up and took me a while to get back to sleep. And, you know, as it turns out, it was somebody pranking me. And, 9 hours later, I find out that I'm negative. But, you know, the NBA thinks that there is enough chance that you could catch this thing that you have to test every day. That's a little scary, at least early on.
We're talking to Joe Vardon from The Athletic, who's covering the NBA from the bubble in Orlando. Joe, before you came on, we were talking about Kawhi Leonard, who last year was the best player in the playoffs. He was the NBA Finals MVP. He basically put Toronto on his back, and he had help, but he led them to a title. How much do you think Kawhi plays in these 8 seeding games, these run-up games? I mean, I could see a scenario where Doc doesn't play him at all. I could see another one where he plays 30 minutes a game to ramp up. I could see where he plays half that. What do you think?
I think it's more of an idea of ramping up. The Clippers are pretty much my pick to win this thing right now.
Why Clippers over the Lakers?
Oh, my goodness. With all due respect to my friend wearing number 23, who we've been working together for years, the Clippers are, I believe, by far the deepest team. I just think they are. I think they're deep. I think they got deeper at the trade deadline. They're tough. And Kawhi is maybe the best player in the NBA. And he's healthy now. Paul George is healthy now. The one thing that the Clippers could not do this whole season was really build any kind of continuity. So they don't even really have much to rely on from 4 months ago. So I think that they actually do need this time to build up and round into form, whereas a team like the Lakers had a wonderful regular season. And yes, you had a 4 month layoff, and so everyone's going to be rusty, but they can at least go back to, okay, this is what we did, and we know where everyone's supposed to stand, and we know everybody's timing. And so I think the Lakers are in a better situation to rest some guys if that's what you want to do, or ease into this thing.
Who is the Clippers' best matchup defensively? What do they do defensively with Anthony Davis?
Jeez, I got to be honest. It's been probably about 4 months since I even thought about that. Has anybody ever talked to me about that? Jeez. I think Anthony Davis is one of the best players, in basketball. He's playing alongside LeBron, who is still excellent, definitely a top 3 player. And so they're going to be formidable. And Anthony was great in their last matchup. They really didn't have an answer there. And Anthony was a reason why the Lakers won that game. When you kind of get into it, I mean, the Clippers can go smaller, and also their guys are tough enough to defend and defend straight up. And you go back to Kawhi, like he has shown now, like even when he wasn't healthy, that he could defend LeBron in the fourth quarter and control the game in the fourth quarter. And that is what LeBron does in the playoffs and in big games. And I think that, you know, that it's an uphill climb for the Lakers in a seven-game series with the Clippers because of that primary factor.
When you look at the East, I think Milwaukee is everybody's consensus choice to come out of there. If it's not the Bucks, if they trip up, who comes out of the East?
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you for sure. I really like Milwaukee. I like them all year. I just think, you know, Giannis is awesome. And then beyond him, they've really developed a system and a culture there where guys fit. They play together. They know how to play. I love their veterans. You know, I'm going to say a lot of the same things about the Raptors, though. And I definitely have my eye on them because I feel like in a situation where everything's goofy, right? Like, you know, yep. Everybody's out of their beds and there's no home court advantage and no one's been playing basketball for 4 months. I do feel like continuity and system will matter even more. And the Raptors have that. And they proved that they could overcome, for the most part, the loss of a Kawhi Leonard, which is remarkable to me. I can't believe that's true, but it is. And so now, like, they defend so well and they play together. They are healthy for the first time in a long time. And so I do. I wonder if they can make a similar run.
Joe Vardon is with us from The Athletic, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. He is down in the bubble in Orlando. So let's do some bubble talk. So what's the food like? How do you get your food?
You know, it's funny that you guys asked me that because literally looking at my screen is a big story tomorrow about the food. the point is going to be this, like, the food doesn't photograph well. Okay. There's reasons for that, and it tastes good. It's good. It is healthy. There's plenty of options, and that's even for somebody who is in quarantine, which I am. I'm in isolation. But once I get out and once the players got out over the weekend, your options increase exponentially. You know, so they, for now, like, they bring me this food three times a day. They knock on my door. They leave it. There's always two bags full of food. There is one or two hot options, some kind of beef or meat, some kind of pasta or carbohydrate, a warm vegetable. There is always a salad in a plastic container. There is a dessert. You know, for lunch, there can be cold sandwiches wrapped, and it's fine. It's fine. You know, the Disney has two challenges here. One, they can't give you coronavirus. Like, so they, you know, you got to have the food in stuff that is sanitary. You can't eat it with steel forks and knives. You just can't. That leads to, you know, being uncomfortable with eating. And then the other thing is, they, you know, as a giant massive company like this and serving all these meals like this, like, they're trying to take care of the environment. So you not only does everything need to be sterile, but it needs to be environmentally friendly. So you add that up and the food is just being delivered and stuff that just doesn't look as enticing as it actually is.
All right, Joe, last thing for me. There's a lot of talk. There's already some girl out there who's on social media saying she's been invited into the bubble. There's guys like Stephen A. going on the air saying there's no way that these guys are going to go that long without getting their girls in there. Where do you come down on that? Do you think they're going to be able to protect what Mason calls the sanctity of the bubble?
The sanctity of the bubble.
I think... you know, if the bubble were a castle, and then, you know, like some medieval castle, and you have a moat, and then you have a big giant wall, and then inside the wall, as you get closer to the palace, you have more walls, and you have, you know, sentries standing on top of the towers there, you know, things like that. I think that's a decent analogy. I think there will be some holes in the outer layer. I do. But I believe you will get caught. And as we've seen with you know, Rashard Holmes and Bruno down there in Houston, you will be punished for your transgressions. And so for the younger, less mature of mind or spirit players who would think about jeopardizing this, like, they'll do it. They'll get caught. They'll be back in quarantine. It'll be embarrassing. But I think that a lot of the veterans, you know, the guys who understand how much money is on the line, and then especially for the players who really care about winning a championship, and I think there's probably five teams who think they can really do it, I think they're going to plead, you know? And it's going to be rough. I mean, the not having your significant other, like, you know, with you for that long is a lot, for sure. You know, but it is part of the deal, and there is a reprieve coming. It comes like in what, I think early September, maybe even before that. I can't remember, but yeah, I think it's in September. So, you know, you just do, you have to deal with it, and not dealing with it to the point where you would wreck this and wreck the season and cost you your entire earning potential. I just don't think that it's going to be as big of a problem, you know, as some people are speculating. And I, you know, it would really stink if I'm wrong.
Yeah, it would be. And I mean, nobody wants to be the guy that pops the bubble. I mean, you just don't want to be that guy. If you're the ninth guy or the 10th guy or the 11th guy on a roster, or you're down the bench, I mean, the last thing you want to do is be that guy who ventures out of the bubble or brings COVID back into the bubble. I just think that there's going to be a really strong culture of protecting that and keeping it safe. I disagree with Stephen A. Smith. I think there is going to be a level of discipline. I think people do understand what's at stake. I mean, I just have faith in these guys to do the right thing and to make sure that this thing gets pulled off right.
Yeah, I obviously agree. And I just, you know, I think you feel it. And listen, I mean, some of these guys are 20 years old or 22 years old, and it's been a long time since they've been told no, and they're not used to it, and it's harder for them to gauge, like, what really matters. But, you know, I mean, some of these guys are really smart, some of the younger ones, and then as you start getting to be 25, 26 years old, and you've already made millions of dollars once, and then you start to have families and kids, like, you start to understand responsibility, or maybe you had a rough upbringing, and so you understand what you used to not have. Like, and all those things matter. Like, what's going on in our country matters. Like, knowing that people outside this bubble are getting sick and dying matters, and everything with social justice matters. And so you don't want right now, in the middle of all this suffering and all this sacrifice, to be the person who wrecks this thing that's supposed to be really good for everybody.
All right. Hey, listen, Joe, thank you very much for coming on. Good luck down there in the bubble. Hopefully we can do this again.
Yeah, I'd like to. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Joe.
All right, cool. There's Joe Varden from The Athletic. He has faith, John, that guys are going to respect the sanctity of the bubble.
But you have said you wouldn't go that long. You wouldn't hold out that long.
No, I just said I've never been asked to hold out that long.
Yeah, but do you think you could do it?
Oh, yeah. Come on. If I knew what was at stake... Like, if I knew...
No, but I'm not worried about one of the teams. I'm not worried about Lakers, Clippers, Bucks. I'm worried about the Phoenix Suns.
Correct. If I felt that, for example, 710 ESPN...
Wizards?
If I felt that 710 ESPN was operating inside a bubble, mm-hmm. and that if I went outside the bubble, I could get everybody sick, there's no way I would go out and get everybody sick. It just wouldn't... It wouldn't be... And I know... It's kind of the catchy thing is people are like, yeah, you know, they're going to sneak out, get girls, all that kind of stuff. I just think guys know what's at stake. If you're the guy that pops the bubble, if you're not a big star, isn't that the end of your career?
You know who would violate the 710 bubble?
Who?
Morales.
Oh, yeah, Morales would.
Out there with
Morales would never even get into the
out
bubble.
There with his open button shirt and a bottle of tequila jumping the fence. Come on, man.
That's absolutely right.
He ain't for D8 sanctity. Hell with sanctity. He'd be out there with four shot glasses, hopping the wall.
All right, John. Shams Charania reporting that the snitch line is up and operating.
That's your favorite phone line. That's the one you wanted.
It's coming up next. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You know what I say? Fewer commercials, more Mason and Ireland. That's what I've been saying for a long. How long have I been saying that, John? How long?
Yeah, be careful what you wish for. Today might have no commercials.
It's all right. More show.
Bring it on. Let's go.
More show. All right. So the NBA's snitch hotline is officially live. Before players made their way to Orlando, the NBA revealed that they were going to install an anonymous hotline to allow players to report violations inside the bubble. Shams Charania is reporting that multiple tips have already been placed into the NBA's anonymous hotline to report protocol violations on campus. John, snitching is a bad thing, generally speaking. Yeah. But if it's protecting everybody else that you're working with and living with, then I don't consider that to be snitching. Do you?
Yeah. Hello. My name is Ben, and Rashawn Holmes just crossed the Rubicon to meet his Uber driver, his Uber Eats driver, and he's picking up a bag of unauthorized food. Thank you very much.
What does a snitch call sound like?
Yeah, I mean it's a good point.
That would be a great line to have, like access to.
I know. It'd be awesome to hear
it. I'd love to hear it. I'd love to hear it.
Like, is it a voicemail line or is there an operator?
You know that guy from the Rockets whose name nobody can pronounce? Definitely the first time I've ever heard that guy's name.
I just saw Bruno Caboclo.
Caboclo.
Getting his freak on with a maid. He's in the maintenance closet at the Pirates of the Caribbean. Check it out.
The absurdity of the snitch line.
Wait, you don't really think it's absurd?
Paul George is fishing in an unauthorized lake outside of Splash Mountain.
By the way, guys love fishing. Guys, I mean, I've seen so many fish pictures. It's like I've mentioned this before. My brother Brian in Florida is a huge fisherman. Fishes almost every day. Not a week goes by where I don't get a picture of him with a fish. And now I've got all these NBA players with fish.
I just saw Kawhi Leonard getting his hair braided by an unauthorized salon. He needs to be quarantined.
Do you have to investigate all snitch tips?
I would think so. I would think you'd have to.
What if the same guy calls every day just trying to take out a star player?
I saw Giannis in the Haunted Mansion. I know it was him because he had his jersey on.
Yeah. They're not going to kneecap a star player through the snitch line, are they?
Well, okay.
They're just going to get the guys like Bruno Caboclo and Rashawn Holmes that don't matter, right?
Well, let's think about this. First of all, we don't know for sure that those were the calls to the snitch hotline. They may have been. They may have been. We don't know for sure. But let's just say, let's choose Giannis.
I saw Ivica Zubac. In the candy store, right next to the teacups.
If Giannis were to, and I don't think he would, and I don't think there's any chance of this happening, but let's say a big star player like Giannis does go outside the bubble during the conference finals. Mm-hmm. And somebody calls and says, hey, I just saw Giannis outside the bubble. They've got to treat Giannis the same as they treat Carlos Caboclo.
Bruno Caboclo.
Bruno Caboclo. of the Houston Rockets, don't they?
No. Mace, the one thing you need to learn about in life is that different people get treated differently. But for example, you and I could go on the air and say something that we would immediately be fired for.
Right, sure.
Stephen A. could say the same thing. He'd be suspended for a day.
But in the same way, even if it's a star player who goes outside the bubble, it could still bring the whole thing down.
Right.
If he's not quarantined. I mean, automatically, the star player who went outside would have to be quarantined. They would have to be.
Theoretically, you're right. But do you take that? Do you connect those
Absolutely.
Dots? You would kneecap Giannis if he went and picked up food from a Postmates driver.
If I want to see the bubble succeed, if I want to make it all the way to the NBA Finals, yes. I mean, it's so weird to me that people don't wrap their head around this. I mean, you talk about how I'm being optimistic.
I just saw Steve Ballmer at Denny's. Well, I know it was him because he was sweating through his shirt.
That was definitely him then. No, I mean, we talk about this. I mean, if something goes wrong, and you always say, well, if we make it, if it succeeds, yeah. if it's successful,
yes.
if we get to the end of it,
yes.
if people are doing this stuff, we will not see the end of it. We will not. If people go outside the bubble and bring COVID in, it's over.
Correct.
It's over.
But you know that there are people that don't think it can happen to them. You know, that's what's happening. I heard a story today. I have no idea if the story's true. But somebody told me a story today that there is such thing. Have you guys heard this? There are such thing as a
parties.
COVID party.
Yeah.
Do you believe that? Are people that stupid?
I mean, I
100%.
Read an article. I read an article about a kid who died. Said I thought it was just a joke. Kid went to a COVID party.
So people who don't know what we're talking about, you go to a party where someone at the party has COVID and they all bet on who the next person to get it will be.
Yeah, smart. Smart.
I mean, what in the world?
Yeah, I mean, this is why we lead the world in COVID.
Yeah,
no kidding. Like the COVID capital of the world.
Yeah, I heard Ramona she was doing Sedano's show today, and she said that there were like 300 total cases yesterday in Canada, and there were like 8,000 in St. Louis alone.
Yeah.
You know, it's so different than the rest of the world.
There's more in the South Florida area than I think a few countries put together.
Oh, speaking of which, we're going to talk to Bill Shaken. St. Louis had their largest COVID day ever yesterday. And we're going to start playing baseball there in 2 weeks?
Two weeks.
All right, so Bill Shaken's coming on next. We'll get into that with him.
All right, Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. What's going on? The Dodgers have another intra-squad game tonight at Dodger Stadium. It's Mitchell White versus Victor Gonzalez. That's the pitching matchup. Mookie Betts leading off for one team. Kike Hernandez leading off for the other team. Joining us right now, a guy who's been covering it all for the LA Times, Bill Shaken. Bill, thanks for coming on. How are you, man?
Good. How are you guys?
We're good, Bill. We're hanging in there. On one hand, I watch these Dodger inter-squad games, and they look pretty good to me. They look normal. It looks like the Korean baseball I've been watching late at night. And then I see a report today that in the city of St. Louis and the state of Missouri, they had their highest COVID numbers ever for one day. And I think, well, in 2 weeks, the Cardinals are going to be playing baseball there. What's your level of confidence that they can pull this thing off?
Well, I mean, the numbers are high in St. Louis, but I should also point out they're pretty high here in St.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Southern California.
Sure. Yeah.
Are they going to pull it off? I don't think anyone knows. We don't know where the virus is going to be in 2 or 3 weeks, and anyone who tells you that they know is just fooling themselves. So really all that Major League Baseball can do is try to put in as efficient a testing protocol as possible, knowing that the players had made clear they did not want to go into a bubble in the same way that the Lakers and the Clippers are right now. And that means the players are in the community. That means there are going to be positive tests. And no one knows how many or how often or, frankly, whether they're going to have to shut the sport down.
Now, they have had problems with testing in multiple places. I think Washington and Oakland, a couple places where the tests were delayed over the 4th of July weekend. Have they improved that? Like, for example, how often are the Dodgers being tested? Do you know?
Players are supposed to be tested every other day. Staff members several times a week. I saw the Astros today had some more problems getting test results. And, you know, on the plus side, you say, okay, the games haven't started yet. So if a guy has to miss a workout because his test results haven't come back, or if you have to start your workout at 8 o'clock at night instead of noon, okay, this is the time when you can work with that. But if the season started and guys haven't got their test results back and we're not sure if, well, this guy tested positive and I need to get tested negative before I can play. Do I have that result? You can't pull off a season like that.
We're talking to Bill Shaken from the LA Times. Bill, we've had a couple of baseball writers and reporters on over the past few weeks, and they've been telling us that they've been allowed into the press box, socially distant, but that they haven't been allowed in the same room as players. Do you anticipate that guys like you that cover the sport are ever going to be in a clubhouse setting or in a room with players? Or are we looking for this 60-game sprint pretty much at Zoom interviews as fans?
The media relations set up right now is Zoom interviews. So I won't get any better interview or any different interview, frankly, with a player being at the ballpark than I would sitting at home and logging on. Now, that's how they're going to start the season. They've said that they'll evaluate as the season goes on. So it's possible that could change. But, you know, in reality, media relations, I think, are probably pretty low on their list of priorities. Making all the tests, you know, proper and efficient is probably a little bit higher. So that might change. I'm not counting on it.
Let's talk a little bit about the baseball itself. We talked to Andrew Friedman Friday. It sounds like the rotation is probably pretty much set in terms of Kershaw, followed by Buehler, followed by Urias, and then sort of a mixed bag. Do you have a sense for the fourth and fifth spots in the rotation?
Well, I think they had a little better sense of what they wanted to do when David Price was still going to
sure.
play, and so he opted out. Obviously, that gave Ross Stripling a chance to move up a little bit. And I would think going in, that they're going to have to not plan things maybe in the same way that they would over the course of 162 games. And the reason is that they're going to try to play 60 games in 66 days, and we'll see if that works out. But nobody's going, eight or nine innings on opening. Well, nobody goes eight or nine innings anymore anyway.
But yeah, right.
Spring training, you're not expecting guys to go deep into games. So the teams that are going to do the best, at least early, are the ones that have deep pitching staffs. And, to their credit, the Dodgers do. So if somebody like a Stripling or a Urias goes four innings the first time out, well, you have a Dustin May, you have a Tony Gonsolin to come in and work another three or four innings.
We're talking to Bill Shaken from the LA Times. Bill, these, I'm assuming, are going to look like regular games to us because of the sprint, because of what you talked about, 66 games in 60 days. What's the byproduct of that, do you think, that people aren't thinking about? Obviously, a universal DH is going to be weird for Dodger fans. They're never going to see the pitcher hit. Could we see six or seven pitchers in one game early, even if Walker Buehler is through four innings and he hasn't allowed a hit? If his pitch count is where it's at, is he out of there? What do you think the byproduct of 66 days, 60 games is?
Well, Dave Roberts has already proven, even in a normal season, that if you're pitching a no hitter,
yep,
you're out of the
game. Ask Ross Stripling. You're right.
Yeah, or Rich Hill. So, right. That could happen. But I think the thing to keep in mind is that this is also the year where the rule goes into effect about pitchers having to face at least three batters. So you're not going to have an eighth inning where there's four batters and you're going to go four pitchers right, left, right, left. That'll keep down some of the numbers. Obviously, the reason you're starting with a 30-man roster is because you don't expect pitchers to be ready to go deep into game. So I think you'll see a lot of pitching changes over the course of a game. I don't think you'll see as many during an inning.
The one guy who has really kind of broken out since these intra-squad games have started is Edwin Rios, who is can play third, can play first, and he's also going to be a prime candidate for DH. Where do you see him in terms of role this year?
You nailed it. You don't have to ask me. That's exactly what it is. Third, first, DH, probably outfield in a pinch. But, you know, the way the Dodgers move guys around and the way they try to at least rest guys as much as they can, certainly there'll be room to have a bat. And, you know, just because you're not going to have a pitcher doesn't mean you won't need pinch hitters ever either. So, you know, probably the Dodgers will pinch hit for catchers every now and then, for example, and he'd be a guy for that as well.
Bill, the plight of Gavin Lux is interesting to me. I assumed when last year ended, he was going to be everyday second baseman this year, possible rookie of the year candidate, and maybe that still could happen. But the more people I talk to say, don't count on him being in the lineup every day, maybe not even a regular starter. What do you think the future of Gavin Lux is for this season?
Well, had he been in camp with everybody from day one, I'd feel a little bit more secure in saying what's going to happen. But because he wasn't and he's playing a little bit of catch-up, you're right. I think it's a little more uncertain. And the one thing we know about the Dodgers under Andrew Friedman is there's never a situation where somebody goes, oh, my God, this guy's down. We don't have anybody else for that position. So at second base, for example, the Dodgers can roll out a Kike Hernandez or a Chris Taylor or Max Muncy, depending on the day. And they'll look to matchups like they always do. And I'm sure Gavin will get his chance to play. But in a 60-game season, the idea of giving a rookie 2 months to get his feet wet, you're not going to have that anymore because 2 months is the end of the season.
Okay, so Bill, clarify this idea that's floating around out there that you can apparently buy a fathead that is going to sit in the stands for you at Dodger games.
Yeah,
you
Bill wrote about this today. Yeah. Bill, like, can because Mason will do that. He already has a fathead of himself.
Yes.
He'll pay top dollar to get it behind home plate. What are the rules there?
The rules are essentially that first the Dodger season ticket holders will have their shot, and then after that, starting tomorrow morning, the Dodgers will be happy to sell a fathead to anyone who would like to be a part of the action, at least virtually speaking. You can go on the Dodgers website and you can pick where you'd like your fathead to be, at least the section, maybe not the seat. And what I was interested to see is, well, you know, what are they going to let you put on this sign? Is it just a face? And they were quick, like, no political slogans. This is not about the election.
Right. Can I make fun of the Astros?
That was my second question, what's going on? And it said, offensive or negative references to any MLB team.
Oh, come on. They deserve it.
They do?
Yes.
Do you think that if I just did a cutout where I was wearing a hat that had, it like an Astros hat that had a circle and a line through it, would that violate the rule? Or an asterisk?
I think our listeners should pony up money for you to find out.
There.
Yeah.
Actually,
yeah.
Yeah. We should do that.
All right. Hey, listen, Bill, thank you very much for coming on. We appreciate it. By the way, if you want to buy that fathead for the stands, I guess they go on sale tomorrow. Season ticket holders have them availability to it right now. What's the price, by the way, Bill?
It, depending on where you want it to be, is either $149 for the season or $299 for the season. You get to take it home after the season. Depending on, you know, how weather-beaten it is, you may or may not want to display it. What I found interesting, though, is in the fine print, the Dodgers said, you know what, we don't really expect to have fans this season, but if we're allowed to have fans at the end of the season, we might move your fathead, or we might just take it away entirely.
Right. Wow.
Interesting.
$299 to not go to the game. That's a new one. All right.
$100 a ticket for you not to be there for 30 home games.
Exactly. All right. Hey, Bill, thank you very much for coming on, man. We appreciate it.
All right. Take care.
By the way, admit it, Mace. You're thinking about ponying up that $299.
Oh, yes, I am. I'm looking.
SteveMason.com headband on your fat head, right?
I am on Dodger.com right now looking for exactly where I can buy this thing. All right. Coming up next for you is The Scoop, all the stuff that we haven't talked about yet. Coming next for you, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.